Come on, everybody, let's give it up for our campuses today that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. I'm glad you're there. Whatever location you're at today, maybe it's in Craneville, Illinois, or in South Jackson, or Dyersburg, or Savannah, or Adamsville. And for all of you at North with me, we are glad you're here today, and we're excited about what God is doing. Love and Truth Church is all about changing lives to change our world, right? And we do that through three things. We do that every Sunday. Our Sunday services are about encouraging everybody. We want every person to be encouraged. If you've known Jesus, for 128 years, we want you encouraged. If this is your first time to ever walk into a church, we want you to leave encouraged. We also want to help everybody get engaged with their purpose. We know that when you find your purpose and you find your place, you live life with passion, and that's what we want for you, to live life to the fullest. And then lastly, we want you to encounter His presence, because when you get in God's presence, everything changes. Everything gets better when you get in the presence of God. And so we're glad you're here today. Listen, let me say this to you. Today's sermon is going to be a little different for all of our campuses today. They know this. I'm going to preach about the first two-thirds of the sermon, and I'm going to turn it over to our campus pastors, and they're going to come actually and preach the last part of the sermon at your location today. So it's going to be a little different, but we like different. We don't like the same thing. So let's get ready to receive. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for your blessings and your benefit that you give to us. And we ask you today to prepare our hearts to receive what you want to speak to us. Tell us, Lord, what it is that you're doing, what it is that you're saying, and help us to know exactly what we are to do to further the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Now, we begin this series, and we talked to you the first week about imagining that every challenge is an opportunity to take you to the next level, to take you to the next place in your life that God has for you. Last week, I talked to you about imagining what God can do in your family. And remember, we did the three-chair deal last week. I had the chair of the committed, the compromised, and the confused. And I hope you figured out where you were and that you're willing to move, all right? Now, if you're in one of those latter two that were saying, hey, we want to get committed, if you weren't here, just go online, download it. You can watch it or listen to it that way. Today, we're going to talk about vision, okay? So look in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, this is our passage that we're using every week. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, in fact, why don't you just read it with me, all of the campuses as well as all of you here. Read this with me. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I love that. According to His power that is at work within us. The power of God is in you. The imagination comes from you. And we've been imagining different things, so just go with me for a minute. Use your imagination with me for a minute. Let's think about a church there, because we're going to talk about vision. We're going to talk about vision for a church. And imagine with me for a minute, maybe a friend or a family member, or maybe you, maybe it's your life right now, that you're facing just seemingly insurmountable odds. It's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what's going on. And somebody tells you, you ought to go to church. And so you show up at a Love and Truth Church on a Sunday morning. But the problem is that the people at Love and Truth Church didn't show up. Or they showed up, but they were too busy hanging out with their friends. And, you came in the building and nobody shook your hand. And you didn't know where the auditorium was. You didn't know where the restrooms were. You didn't know where anything was. And you finally found where to go. And you got a seat and nobody spoke to you. I've been to church like that before, by the way. And a few people might have come in and looked at you like you got their seat. Right? And the worship was kind of mediocre. The team was, you could tell they were still on vacation somewhere and just kind of going through the ritual. And the pastor gets up and he shares something, but it's about, over yonder in the glory land or something, and wherever that is. And you leave going, I really needed something. I needed to connect with somebody. I needed God to speak to me. I needed to experience something during the praise. I left. And just wonder if you would ever go back to that church. Now, let's imagine again. Imagine that you go to a Love and Truth church, and there are people who have shown up early. They're excited. They're glad to see you from the time you get on the parking lot until you walk through the doors. There's somebody there to greet you. There's somebody there to direct you. There's somebody there to let you know that you're special and you're welcome. When you walk into the auditorium, there's somebody there who's showing you what you need to do. And you get there. The worship takes you into the presence of God. The sermon does something for you. And at the end of that sermon, there's a moment where your life comes into contact with Jesus Christ and you leave better than you came in. Now, how many of you know that's the kind of place we all want to go? See, the vision for Love and Truth Church is interesting, because what we find is that life really is filled with tension. And it's not always negative tension. There's positive tension as well that we deal with. There's the tension of the choice of good or great. There's this whole aspect of, well, it's acceptable or it's the best. Now, I want to tell you, I don't want to be a part of a church that just says, well, it's good enough. I don't want to be a part of a group of people that says, well, you know, it's acceptable. We didn't go out of our way. We didn't try to do our very best. We just kind of showed up. And you know, mediocrity is kind of our creed at our church. See, I don't want that. And what I found is this, is that if you want to go from good to great, as you know the book says, if you want to move to that place, what you have to do is that you have to come to a place where a vision directs your life, because vision produces your best. And Dr. Paul Cho, years ago, Dr. Cho pastored in Seoul, South Korea until just recently. He's in his 80s now. But at that time, back in the 1980s, he wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension. And at that time, Dr. Cho was pastoring the largest church in the history of the world. At that time, it had over 500,000 people. It's grown since then. To the last time I heard, it was over 1 million people. He wrote a book, and in that book, he was talking about faith and about vision. And here was his term. He said, you have to become pregnant with faith. You have to become pregnant with a vision. Now, all the women can relate to that, and all the men just went, But here's what I want to tell you. Men and women, we've got to get pregnant with a vision of what we want to see. We've got to believe that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. And so that whole aspect comes down inside of us. And Love and Truth Church, and I just want to share the vision and who we are. This sermon will be a little different than normal, but please give me that opportunity today. The beginning of Love and Truth is kind of interesting. Sherry and I, when I was 25 years old and had worked in Memphis at a church for 3.5 years as the assistant to the pastor. Pastor Bill Luther was the pastor there. And I went to Adamsville, and Adamsville's a little small town, for those of you who don't know that. It's about 1,500 people at that time when we went. And the first Sunday that I was there, there were 35 people there in this very traditional Pentecostal church. And the majority of people in that church were as twice as old as I was. In fact, one of the board members had been a board member for 33 years. Did I tell you I was 25? Okay, you can imagine that fun. It really was a wonderful man, and just loved that church and loved God. Before I ever went there, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I felt God say to me, if you'll go, I'll give you a revival. I'll bring things to pass. And so we went there. In those early years, there were tough times. There were times. In fact, they told me when I took the church, they said, Pastor, here's what we're going to tell you. Now, I don't even mind telling you how much I was making. It was so much. It was huge. I was making $125 a week. And they said to me, they said, Pastor, we can pay you, we know we can pay you for 2 months. We don't know after that. And it's like, okay, Jesus, come on, all right? Thank God they did keep paying me that $125, and we survived, thank God. And what began to happen, though, is that God began to birth a vision in the heart of people, and people began to believe for more and more, and things began to happen. And within the first few years, we began to see change. We began to see people get saved. Lives were changed, and we built our first building there, and we moved, and that was a whole step of faith to do all of that. And what we found is, though, is that there were so many people that were so hungry for the Lord, and they weren't looking. They were looking for a safe place. They were looking for a place that was more interested in them than rules and regulations and churchianity. You understand what I'm talking about? They didn't care if you sang out of the hymn book or if you didn't have a hymn book. They just needed Jesus. They just showed up wanting God to do something in their life. And we begin to see life change, and we begin to see people come to know Christ, and we begin to see families being changed, and we saw just all kind of things. And so one day we said, you know what? It might be good to know what we're doing. So we said, let's put together a mission statement. And our mission statement, we didn't realize it then. It's now at this point, it's over 25 plus years old. But as we were kind of crafting it, we put it together, and here's what it says. It says, Love and True Church is called to be a place of supernatural power, impacting. Now remember, we're in a little small town, 1,500 people, and we said, we're going to impact a 30-mile radius. And so we got maps, and we Adamsville in the middle, and we drew 30-mile radius, and we reached, like Lexington and Henderson, and we said, okay, we can do this. And guess what started happening? We started reaching people from Lexington. We started reaching people. People started coming. So I don't know, a year or so later, we started talking one day, and somebody said, Pastor, let's do 50 miles. So we got crazy. We went 50 miles, and now we're reaching into Corinth, Mississippi, and almost all the way to Jackson and all that. And guess what happened? People started coming from Corinth, Mississippi. People started coming. Literally, we were having people drive from Jackson, Tennessee, a little bitty town down the road here, and lives began to be changed and transformed. And then, I don't remember all the process of this. A little bit later, we're in a meeting one day, and somebody, I don't know who, I'd like to blame two or three people. They said, Pastor, let's get crazy. I said, okay, what does that look like? They said, let's believe for the whole world. Now, that's just crazy. We're in a town of 1,500 people. At that point, we're probably about 350, 400 people. And all of a sudden, we changed our mission statement. And the mission statement, which still to this day says it, it says, Love and True Church is called to be a place of supernatural power impacting the world. Now, that's nuts unless God's in it. That's crazy to believe in a town of 1,500 people, you can have an impact around the world. But guess what happened? Within 6 months' time, we get a letter from the Philippines saying, we got your name from so-and-so who we don't know to this day. We don't know who so-and-so was. They gave us a name. We don't know this person. We got your name from them, and we just wanted to know if you could help us. Out of that became the Philippines churches that we have today. A little bit later, a businessman in our church from Adamsville went to Kenya with a Baptist missionary, came back and said, Pastor, we need to have churches in Kenya. Out of that came our missions in Kenya and Uganda and Tanzania. God began to honor the vision that made no sense to anybody because people got pregnant with a vision. We started expanding locations. I want to tell you, that's crazy. Why in the world would any pastor want to pastor more than one church is my question. I mean, that makes no sense. I know, the church planting now is kind of the cool, sexy thing. Let me tell you, I've tried it. It's hard. It's hard to start from ground zero and build up. And what we've saw, though, is that God was doing things. Now, let me say this to you. We've had some tremendous successes. We have seen things that would blow your mind if I had time to share it with you today. But I want to tell you also, we have had horrible failures. We have had some things that have happened. We have had to close churches we've launched. We have had situations with people who I have stood before them and married them, and we had great belief in what God was going to do. And 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, they've come to me and said, "Pastor, we're getting a divorce. We're walking out. We can't stand each other. You know that person I married, I hate their guts," and you know. I've walked into hospital rooms. I remember one situation. I was in Adamsville. I walked into a hospital room. A lady laying in the bed was fighting cancer, and she looked at me. She said, "Pastor," it was in Nashville. She said, "Pastor, I'm believing that God's going to raise me up out of this bed, and I'm going to be healed." And I laid hands on her, and I prayed for her. And I would love to tell you, and the story is she got up. But the story is before I got out of Vanderbilt Hospital, they called me and said she died. And in the midst of those moments, it's easy to lose the vision. In the midst of that situation where it doesn't seem like God is doing what he said he was going to do, it's easy to say, "I give up, I check out, I'm over." But what I've seen over and over and over again is the faith of people who said, "I may not understand what God is doing, but I trust him. I believe that he is able to do immeasurably above all that I can ask or imagine, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works in me." See, when you approach life that way, from the very formation of Love and Truth Church to this day, we've seen God do powerful things. And I was thinking between services, and I was pondering just for a minute, and I thought, how many building programs have I been a part of? And it's somewhere north of 14 or 15 building programs that I've been a part of in this 35-year journey that I've been on with Love and Truth Church. And you know what? Building programs are not all that exciting, but life change is wonderful. See, I recently got a phone call from one of our pastors. He said, "Pastor, let me tell you what just happened." I said, "Tell me." And he said, this was about a year or so ago. And he said, "I had a man come to church today." And he said, when he came in, I could tell he was struggling. I could tell, I could smell he was struggling. I could, you know, it was, his addiction was quite evident. And said he began to cry in the foyer. And he began to talk about his life was a mess. And he said, as I was just speaking that day, he said, "I just made some kind of mention about that I wanted to pastor, you know, the biggest drug addict. I wanted to pastor the biggest alcoholic. And he said, after service, he said, this man came to me and he said to me, "Pastor, let me tell you," he said, "I'm probably the biggest alcoholic in this county." He said, "I drink 55 beers a day. But," he said, "here's where I'm at today. I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ." The pastor told me, he said, "I watched him." He said, "The next week he came in," and I said, "every time he said he'd be shaking, he's going through withdrawals or whatever, but he kept coming. He kept serving, kept loving. Church reached out to him, and today, Jim is serving in our Craneville campus because somebody said, you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to have it all together, that this is a place for hurting people who are looking for a solution to the problems of their life." See, the whole reason that we exist today is not to create a museum of you know, perfect saints. We exist today to create a hospital to get people healed, to get them whole, and to release them to their destiny so they can reach everything that God has for them. It's about the salvation of the lost. It's about people coming to the realization of who God is. See, Jesus came to this earth, and the Bible says that he said, I have come to this earth not to be served, but to serve. The scripture lets us know that Jesus came to sacrifice, to give himself as a ransom for your life and for my life. And if you're listening to me today, if you're here today and you say, I've never experienced that, or I did one time but I've walked away from it, my wholehearted desire for you today is this, is that before this day is over, that you will once again, or you will for the very first time, receive forgiveness of your sins. Come into relationship with Jesus Christ and say, God, thank you that you sent your only begotten Son to die on my behalf so that I could be saved and I could spend an eternity with you. That's what it's all about. See, here's what I understand, and I hope you understand as well, and that is that everything that I receive in this world is because somebody went before me. It's because somebody sacrificed. There are people here at every location today that you have for years and years and years been faithful and sacrificed and given. And I want to say thank you today. Thank you that you've been willing to let a vision get inside of you and say, we're going to make a difference in the world. Because Love and True Church is making a difference. See, here's the deal. When you and I are willing to sacrifice, we're not losing anything. We get this mentality, oh, I'm going to lose this, and if I do this, if I sacrifice, if I show up, if I give, if I do, I'm losing. No. What I'm doing is I am just allowing someone later to benefit. I mean, think about this. The Jackson Church comes out of a sacrifice of the Adamsville Church, who for years gave and believed and then was willing to release me as their pastor to come here and to support me for 2 years, not taking a dime from the Jackson Church. Why? Because there were people in Adamsville who said, we believe that the vision is bigger than Adamsville. It's bigger than just our four and no more, that we are going to make a difference in the world. And that vision continues to this day. See, the whole aspect of sacrifice is that sacrifice demonstrates my love. Whatever that sacrifice is, it's about my sacrifice today makes tomorrow better. When you and I are willing today, doesn't matter. You know, Dave Ramsey talks about living today like nobody else so that you can live someday like nobody else. It's that sacrifice, being willing to take a little bit less, being willing to live a little bit less, being willing to give a little bit more at times, and then to see what it is that God wants to do. The scripture says it this way. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I've told you about this, but please let me, and there's some of us who haven't heard this today. I've asked God for years, what does that scripture mean? And one time on a flight back from Kenya, I was pondering, Lord, how do you redeem the time? And I had talked to some of our pastors, and they were telling me how they would walk 6 and 7 hours to go to another village to preach. And I don't know, it was God, it wasn't me. I just all of a sudden thought, wait a minute, if I gave them $200, they could buy a bicycle. And all of a sudden, that 6 or 7 hour journey now becomes a 3 or 4 hour journey one way, and I just save them. I just redeem time. And I thought, whoa, if I buy them a motorcycle, that 3 or 4 hour journey now becomes an hour journey. They don't go by themselves. They'll load four other guys on behind them. If you don't believe that, I got some pictures. And if I really want to get crazy, I'll buy them a 15-passenger van, and they'll take 80 people in that 15-passenger van, and they'll do a crusade that turns a community upside down for God. See, the whole aspect of Love and True Church, in 2011, we laid out a 2020 vision, and I want to talk just a minute about that. I want to share with you about it. That 2020 vision talks about, they're going to bring it up on the screen for me. That 2020 vision talks about that we're going to plant 10 churches. Now, we haven't achieved some of these. I'll tell you that on the front end. We've planted some churches. We have two, Dyersburg and our South Campus, that are going, and they're doing well. We planted another one that has now gone out on its own. We're helping Pastor Stephen to plant one in Murfreesboro as their sponsoring church. We've tried to launch one and never got off the ground. But at least we're trying. We're trying to do something. So we are making a difference. We said we wanted to train 100 people through our LTU program. I'm going to give you some numbers, okay? Just get this, what's happening, what your giving has done. And we said we want to have 100 people, and so far we've taken 134 people through LTU Step 1. We've taken 72 people through Step 2 already, so we believe that by the end of 2020 we're going to reach this goal. We said we wanted to send out 1,000 people on short-term missions trips. Now, the reason I want to send you on a short-term mission trip is not what you're going to do for them. It's what it's going to do for you. It will change your world. And so far, we're well over 400 people that have gone on short-term mission trips since 2011 from Love and True Church. I think that deserves a hand for all those people who have gone, because they gave their own money, sacrificed their time, took vacation to go to another country. We said we wanted to train thousands of people through our Next Steps, what used to be called Growth Track, four-step process. As of now, and this is the best number that we have at this point, we have taken 2,120 people through our Next Steps program, all four levels at all of our campuses. So things are happening. We said we wanted to see 10,000 lost people saved. And I love this number. Now, we're talking U.S., not around the world. We're talking U.S. 10,000 lost people saved. And right now, we are already over 11,000 people who have made a first-time commitment since 2011 to today have made that commitment to the Lord. We said we wanted over 100,000 people to hear the gospel. There's no good way for us to track that. For years, we were on television that was reaching 3,000 to 5,000 families a week. We've done other things, internet-wise, whatever, but we believe that we're going forward and even doing that to this point through Facebook Live, et cetera. And this last one I want to share with you, and I want to shout about this one. We said we wanted to give millions of dollars away to missions, to foreign missions, get it out of Love and Truth, get it around the world. And to this point, as since 2011 until today, this church, this ministry has given over $3 million to missions around the world. That's some awesome stuff. Now let me just share. You say, Pastor, why are you telling us all that? Let me just share with you. I'm going to wrap this up, and campus pastors, we're coming to you in just a second. But listen to this. Remember I talked about years ago, little small town, 1,500 people. We said, let's reach the world. Today, we have 28 churches in the Philippines. We have four Bible colleges. We have two preschools. We have two elementary schools. In Uganda, we have 37 churches. In Kenya, we have 44 churches, seven preschools, one elementary school. We have one boarding school where they come and they stay and they live there in Kenya, and we have one church in Tanzania. That's what's happening because of what you are doing, because of what you have got a hold of, because of the vision that has got down inside. You got pregnant with it and said, let's make a difference. We take 10% of your tithe. So every time you tithe, 10% of it goes to missions. So that's where this comes from, the majority of it. Not only are we doing that, we now take 10% of that amount. And there's a ministry in Israel that we've joined with, and we're sending money every week to Israel, or every month to Israel, because the Lord said, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. Can I give you 1 month, and then I'll turn it to the campus guys, all right? Let me give you 1 month in our churches around the world. Last month, August, their total attendance average was 7,548 people in Love and Truth churches around the world. Now, here's the better number. Last month, these numbers aren't even counting everything else I talked about. They had 429 people that made a first-time commitment in 1 month to the cause of Jesus Christ. They baptized 169, and they had 321 people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit in 1 month's time because of the vision of Love and Truth Church. I'm excited about what God's doing.
your campus pastor is going to come share with you what you're going to be doing there at your location. Would you turn your attention to the screens? Love and Truth Church is all about changing lives to change our world. From the beginning, when we started in October of 2001 at the Holiday Inn, with one family who began to reach out to their friends and more people began to come, we saw God changing lives. As we moved to Hamilton Hill the next year, we saw God again continue to add to the church. Once we moved to Oil Well Road, over the past several years, we have seen time and time and time again how God has added, but every time that He adds, there's a challenge. And that challenge is, how are we going to be able to reach all of these people, but also take care of them? And so we've had building program after building program. Many of you have not been here for some of them. Some of you have been through every one of them. And I want to say thank you today for those of you who have sacrificed time and time again. We are entering into a campaign called Imagine What God Will Do. And that's what we want you to do. The book of Ephesians says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. As you begin to imagine what God can do in your life, as we move forward over the next 3 years together, to build this new building that's going to provide offices. It's also going to provide us a place that will have a chapel in it, as well as a place for Sunday morning gatherings. And then our Next Steps class is going to be there, where people engage with their purpose and they find their place and they live out their passion. And so I want to encourage you today, as each and every one of us make a decision to imagine what it is that God can do in us, then we are going to be able to make a huge difference in the world. And so I challenge you today to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to guide you and to lead you. And as we move forward together, let's imagine a great future where lives are being changed and we get to play a part in it. Three or four years ago, I was sitting on the front seat, and many of you know Lloyd Bustard, who's ministered here on many occasions, and he stopped the service and he looked at me and he said, "You're going to build another building." And under my breath, I said, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." I don't know if I quite said that, but it was that thought, "I don't want to build another building, God. Let the next guy, let me pass that along to somebody else." Now it's been years. In 2016, our leadership met and we began to look to the future, saying, what is it we can do and how do we continue to facilitate ministry at the level we're at? And out of that came this new building. And what I would say to you is this, is that in 2007, 2008, 2009, when we built this building, it was about a $4.5 million process. Most of you were not here for that. The good news is this, is that without ever asking for another dime, without ever pushing you, we have been able to pay off $2 million in principal since 2011 on this building. Not counting all the interest we've had to pay. So this next building is about a $2.5 million project, and so the bank was jumping up and down saying, "We'd love to loan you the money." Because they love us. We are a good risk for them. We've never been late. We've always paid off everything early, over 30-something years of ministry. We met and said, we don't think that's wise usage of our future. We want to challenge the people. We haven't done this. We want to challenge the people. Now, those of you who were here for this building know that we challenged you and raised hundreds of thousands and more than that even.
But our challenge today is this, is $2.5 million building. I believe with all of my heart, and the company we're working with tells us, with a church like ours, it should be a breeze. That we can, in 3 years' time, raise that $2.5 million above and beyond our giving at this point. And the good thing is I'm not asking you to write that check. Now, I wish I could write the check. We wouldn't have this whole thing. They'd just build it and we'd be done. But here's what I know. There's a story in the book of Mark, the second chapter, that tells about Jesus healing a paralyzed man. But the backstory of that is this, is that he had four friends who saw that he was paralyzed. And those four friends came to Jesus, and Jesus is teaching, and they can't get through to Jesus in the room. And the Bible says that they take him up on top of the roof and rip the roof off and lower him down to Jesus. And that's where we are today, is that we need a miracle. This house needs a miracle, because I don't want to continue to put money in the lender's hand. I want us to take that same money and use it around the world to raise up hundreds of more churches and pastors and leaders that are impacting tens of thousands of people. Today, Love and True Church, U.S. and around the world, will have over 10,000 people in church. I'm asking God for tens of thousands of people. I'm asking the Lord, enlarge our vision, expand our horizons, let us believe for more. You see, the thing that these four guys had to happen to them is first of all, they had to see the need. So today we've shown you the need. We need a building. We need a building for weddings and funerals, and we need a building for a more traditional type service on Sunday morning as we move forward. We need a building that can do a multiplicity of things. We need offices. We're out of offices. We're in a house over here, and we have no offices. We got people sitting out in the hall. Got all these things happening. So somebody's got to see the need. But the second thing was, they were moved by the need. They saw their buddy that was sick, but they're moved. They had compassion on him. But it's not enough to have compassion. The word of the Lord lets us know they got involved with the need. In other words, they made a sacrifice. They said, you get on that side, and you get on this side, and you get over there, and you get over there. Let's pick him up, and let's take him to Jesus. And they thought when they got to Jesus, everybody would just part, and they'd just walk in, and Jesus would be there. But guess what? It wasn't how it happened. When they got there, everybody said, you're not getting to him. They said, watch us. And their sacrifice had to go to a new level. They had to go up on top of the roof, and their sacrifice pushed them to the point that they said, we'll tear the roof off, and then we'll pay to put the roof back on, because we want to get this man to Jesus. So they got involved with the need. And lastly, I love this, they watched the need become a miracle. And that's what we get to do. Listen, I've done this enough times through the years to know that it's not just about money. It's not about fundraising. It literally takes the church to another level. Every time that we say, Lord, because here's the deal. There's nothing that I can sacrifice that God's not going to bless me abundantly. Whatever I do, God's always going to give back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so here's the only thing I'm asking you today. I'm going to ask you to pray. Pray what it is that God would have you to do in the Imagine campaign. Again, it's not about a building. I'm going to go right out there. It's not about the building. It's about the people whose lives are going to be changed. We're building for those who are yet to come. We built this before the majority of you ever got here. Now you get to participate in the same kind of thing for the next people that God's going to bring. Amen.